Solution versus problem mindset. This is another divide in thinking that, as you might guess, leads to either thinking or doing. Problem-oriented thinkers consider the source or cause of the problem rather deeply, whereas solution-oriented thinkers are geared toward coming up with answers for how to fix it. Analyzing the problem is a matter of thinking, but searching for a solution to fix it is doing. Someone with the problem-oriented mindset obsesses on the problem itself. They wonder what went wrong. They get upset that it keeps happening. They seek blame and responsibility for the setback, and the only answer they have for the problem is to avoid it. They're unable to move past their negative feelings regarding a problem or obstacle. People with the solution-oriented mindset seek answers about a problem and then aggressively look for ways to fix it. They don't have to remind themselves over and over that the problem is there. They know that. But staying in a feedback loop doesn't help the situation. So the solution-oriented mindset looks for answers that will work now and in the future. There are times when the problem-oriented approach is appropriate, most commonly if one is trying to find ways to stop the glitch from continually recurring. But unless we take the next step to think about how to solve the obstacles that come up, we're squandering that effort in the big picture. Solution-oriented thinking takes on a different methodology toward mending a given problem. The first step is to sidestep questions that center on the problem and its causes. Asking why takes away from resolution efforts. It's just echoing the problem itself, not coming up with creative and effective solutions. Instead of asking why, the solution-oriented mindset asks, what now? For example, let's say you're having a hard time grasping a certain math concept. You can spend a few minutes wondering why you're having an issue with it. If you go down that rabbit hole, you'll start wondering what the point of learning this particular concept is anyway. What purpose will it serve in your life? With each line of inquiry, you're getting further away from working on the solution, which would entail going back to step one, examining how you arrived at the point you're at now, and looking for alternative routes to get to the answer. To come up with a solution in this mindset, determine what your existing conditions are now, point A, and how you eventually want them to turn out, point B. By gaining a clear understanding of each point and the gap between them, you'll get a much better sense of what you need to do. Think of the problem in terms of checklists. You could make a list of everything that's going wrong. Alternatively, you could make a list that describes potential solutions. Only one of these checklists is actionable. The only actions you can derive from a list of problems are complaining and fixating on failure. With a list of actions, you have options you can immediately take. Only the action list has real value. To practice your solution mindset, ask yourself these questions about how to handle a given job or dilemma instead of spinning wheels on the whys that don't matter. How can I solve this problem? How can I address this task? How can I get from point A to point B? What's the first step to solving this problem? How do I prepare to get this solution rolling? Coincidentally, these are all questions that force you into action. So, let's say you're running a cupcake shop. Your product is tasty, but it's not selling well, at least not in comparison to other cupcake shops in the general area. The problem-oriented person would probably grouse about the situation and fixate on the trouble, so much so that they're helpless to improve it. You can check off a big list of factors that are affecting your business. Location, no publicity, oversaturation of the market. But once you identify one, you have to start solving it instead of dwelling on it. You have cupcakes to make, damn it. How can I solve this problem? By proving you have a certain edge over other cupcake makers, better recipes, more savvy publicity, developing something unique that makes you different. How can I address this task? Let's just take the publicity angle for now. You can make catchier flyers, maybe come up with some funny or terrible puns for your cupcakes, look into cheap or free advertising, or have someone stand on the corner in a cupcake costume. If Subway can do it with people in sandwich costumes, Cupcake costumes can't look any more ridiculous. How do I get from point A to point B? Point A is where you are now, middling success at best. Point B is where you want to be, basically a cupcake magnate. You get from point A to point B by making a high-quality, well-marketed product that people go out of their way to obtain. What's the first step to solving this problem? Sticking with the publicity angle, you look at sample advertising and marketing efforts, preferably from other successful cupcake companies, and make note of their strategies. Then, you try to adapt them to your own style, so you won't be copying them and you'll look unique. How do I prepare to get this solution rolling? Block off some time when you can research and take notes on your publicity research. Think of a company, associate, or friend who would be willing to work on it, if you can't do it yourself, and find information on ad styles and rates in local alt weeklies. Also, find where to incorporate these assets on your website. You must have a website, right? I'm all in favor of quality thinking, analysis, and mental preparation for absolutely everything, but only as much as you need to start working. Orient yourself on the problem itself only to the extent that it helps you create a solution. With an action mindset taking precedence over a thinking one, you open up a virtual treasure chest of possibilities that can't come from theorizing alone. Intentions versus actions. It was not my intention to hurt you. I didn't mean to cause harm. I was trying to make things better. I thought I was doing the right thing. How many times have you heard these phrases? Have you actually used them yourself? Having good intentions is important, but clearly, wanting to do something and actually doing something are two very different things. You might genuinely want to do something good, but if you don't follow it up with actions, your intentions mean nothing. We need to clearly distinguish between our intentions and actions because often we blur them together and mistake the first for the second. And when we do that, we're fooled into inaction and stillness. For instance, actions measure your integrity. Intentions don't. Actions measure your commitment. Intentions don't. Actions measure your impact. Intentions don't. It's like a husband taking credit and feeling good about the thought of buying flowers for his wife, even though he remained on his couch all night long. Even the smallest deeds have a greater impact than the noblest of intentions, because the world runs only on tangible and concrete things. Ideas floating inside someone's head don't make a difference. Most of us think we're doing something good. Most of us think we're making a positive impact. Most of us think we're making the right choice. But if you have all these wonderful intentions without an ounce of action, there's no practical difference between you and anyone else. Intentions can't write your words for you or help you paint a picture. Here's a list of things that are not actions that move you forward and shouldn't be confused for them. Intention, observation, visualization, thinking, consumption, meditation. For people who tend to have failure to launch, there's often a blurring between intentions and actions. You shouldn't pat yourself on the back and relax just because you've had some thoughts about being productive and working through the night. After a long day of brainstorming and thinking good thoughts, it's tempting to feel like you've accomplished a lot, but you've accomplished nothing, and you need to recognize this blur to take action. As they say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Don't assume that just because your intentions are good, you're already making a positive impact. These things are worlds apart. How are you translating your good intentions into something concrete and tangible? What actual steps are you taking to make your hopes reflect reality? Identify the smallest step you need to take. Think about the biggest goal you have on your agenda. Don't let how ambitious this goal seems or how much work it will take get in your way. It's not that ambitious when you think in terms of small steps. What is the first small step you need to do to get this goal rolling? You'll be surprised how easy it is to keep working after you've broken ground. This is the first step in making the leap from mere intention to tangible action. For example, if you're looking to start brewing your own beer, the first step you need to take is probably studying how the whole process works. There are plenty of books you can buy that describe the process, and even more websites that depict it more succinctly. Maybe your first step is just to clear out enough space in your garage. Those are the first and smallest steps you can take before you go out and buy mash, hops, yeast, and jugs that take over your home. To recognize how you've blurred your intentions and actions and create a separation between them, think in terms of plans. When you have an intention that seems to be masquerading as action, immediately come up with the plan that will bring it to life. Create specific, doable, and measurable actions that can help ensure you're taking steps. For example, you might have the intention of achieving more in the workplace. Perhaps you're working for a promotion or you want a raise. Some of us might be tempted to just think about the things we will do better, give ourselves credit for the thought, and pat ourselves on the back without doing a single thing. Instead, translate that intention into four small, concrete steps that can help you achieve this goal. Even small things like showing up on time or speaking up in meetings can make an impact. These concrete steps will help your good intentions become real, as well as create a sense of accountability to stay on track. The takeaway here is that too often, we feel that we've already taken action just because we have the intention to. Catch yourself before you fall into that trap and clearly distinguish between intentions and actual motion. Take rapid action. Get productive, motivated, and energized. Stop overthinking and procrastinating. Written by Patrick King. Narrated by Russell Newton.